Father God, we love you, we praise you, we bless you, we worship you. Father God, thank you for today, and continue to speak to us by your Spirit and through your word. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen. Please be seated. As I read the gospel reading, a verse came back to me that I said last week, so I quickly had to look it up. Luke 7:42. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And then the New King James, or the King James Version, reads differently. It says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And I refer to that because I had been saying that last week, that it was in there, and you'd have to go and look it up and find out where it was. And it comes to this story that we read of today in Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Because it's the story of Zacchaeus coming to meet Jesus, not knowing. Well, he wanted to meet him. And he was a short man, not tall in stature, not like me. Because whenever I'm in a crowd, I usually can see over it, so I can see who's coming. But Zacchaeus was a wee fella, maybe a bit like Wally. I can get away with naming Wally, he'll take it on the chin, that's it. Because if he's in a crowd, different ball game, because you can't see, and it's just he's smaller than me and I'm taller than him. And those of you that are smaller than me, you know what I'm talking about, because you can't see. Get in the crowd, you're lost. But when you're head and shoulders above everybody else, it might be frightening being in a crowd, but you can still see above the crowd. That's why I would be no use in either China or Japan, because it would be difficult to blend into the background, because I'd definitely be head and shoulders above everybody else. Zacchaeus. Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Mutter, mumble under their breath. The sort of thing that you sort of talk about that you don't really want to be heard, but you're stupid enough to say enough that it is heard. And we've all been at times in meetings or parties or whatever, and somebody walks in and makes a beeline for somebody else, and the people around about, what's he going on? What's he there? Who do you think he is? And I've heard it many times. And in ways, it's actually quite funny at times. Because as people grow older, sometimes hearing starts to go. And of those people, not everybody, but of those people that grow older and the hearing goes, whenever they mutter, everybody hears it. And that's because when we mutter, we're speaking under our breath because we don't want to make too much noise, but we want to speak loud enough that we can hear what we're saying. And if your hearing isn't that good, whenever you mutter, it's loud. And I remember a funeral that I did at a parish, and it wasn't this one. Because I've told this before, but it wasn't this one. So I was at least 10 years younger. And more importantly, my wife was 10 years younger. And there were these two older gentlemen, shall we say. And they were muttering at this funeral. But me, standing at the graveside, trying to go through the committal, was hearing along with everybody else. And to be honest, I was doing my darndest to drown them out so that I couldn't hear them. But what I could hear was going, yeah, that's her. Yeah, the blonde one. Aye, that's his woman. I'm thinking, where have I come to? Because it was in the early days of the parish that I went to. But we all mutter. Well, sorry, rephrase that. Many of us, or most of us, possibly mutter. Because we try to disguise things and say things under our breath. And maybe the moral of the story of this one is, don't, because you actually speak louder than you think. But look at what they muttered. He talking about Jesus, has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So in that second, they judged Zacchaeus. In that second, they raised themselves above Zacchaeus. In that moment, they judged themselves as being better than Zacchaeus. And if you know people, or if you ever fall into the trap of muttering, that's exactly what you're doing. You're raising yourself to be better than the person you're talking about. You just did what the world talks about today, is looking down your nose at somebody else. In the Creed, and connected with 2 Thessalonians 1, because I read it all, actually, for the reading for today, it's 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 to 4, and verses 11 to 12. But I don't really like to break up a reading. And so I read the whole chapter. And the bits from verse 5 to verse 10 are not very nice reading. It's the truth, but it's not good news. Because what it's talking about is whenever Jesus returns. And whenever Jesus returns, some people call it the rapture. But whenever Jesus returns to take his church to be with him in heaven, he will come to judge. And we, just preceding the hymn before we came to preach, we all proclaimed in the Creed. And in the at the end of the second section, it talks about how he will come to judge the living and the dead. Because one of the things that Jesus comes to do is to judge. And that's the truth. But it's not good news. Not good news for everybody. Because not everybody's going to heaven. And some people are going to hell. And sad to say, Jesus himself testified, "Is that broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will find it. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few will find it." There actually will be more, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, going to hell than there are going to heaven. And as I say, that's not good news, but it is the truth. And sometimes it does us well to remember these things, and especially when we're tempted to mutter. Because we're actually putting ourselves on the wrong side. And how can I say that? Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to spend tonight with you, or I'm going to have dinner with you." Jesus showed Zacchaeus compassion. Jesus welcomed Zacchaeus. And Jesus knew fine rightly who and what he was. Just in the same way as Jesus knows who and what you are and I am. And yet he says, "Come. Come. I've forgiven you. I love you. Will you come to me?" And yet many, many people won't. And many, many people don't. Many, many people refuse. Because many, many people rely on themselves. Because they can't believe it's that easy. I was talking with someone recently, and they were getting upset because they'd given a present to their daughter. And the daughter had received the present in another one of her siblings' houses. And the present is still in the siblings' house since last Christmas. And the mother was offended. And I spoke to the mother about it being a gift. And if it's a gift, as soon as you give it to somebody, it's no longer yours. And what they choose to do with it is up to them. "Ah, but you know, they should have it back in their house." And in a way, we're like that. Some of you may think, "Well, what's strange about that? I'd be annoyed if I gave somebody something and they didn't do such and such with it." If that's what you think, that's not a gift. That's actually something that you give with a vice. "And not only am I giving this to you, but you're going to do with it when I want you to." "Yeah, sorry, keep the gift. Thanks very much. Don't want it." Because I've talked about gifts before, is that gift is not something that you pay anything for. It doesn't cost you a thing. Because if it costs you anything, it's not a gift. And yet Jesus came to Zacchaeus and he welcomed him. "Come down out of the tree, Zacchaeus. I want to eat with you tonight." Now I want to get to the bit that really I want to talk about. Look at Zacchaeus' response. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" And as soon as I read that, God reminded me about what it said last week, which is those who are forgiven much will love much. Those who are forgiven little will love little. Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to give away half of what he had, or four times of what he had, or Jesus didn't ask him to do anything. Yet because Zacchaeus was accepted and loved by Jesus, he responded. And he chose to give away half. And he chose to pay back four times. Because of the love of God that had touched his heart. So if you go back to 2 Thessalonians, about how Jesus is going to come and judge, which side are you on? And rather than thinking about which side are you on, look at it in terms of Zacchaeus. How have you responded to Jesus? Is it just, thank you, Lord, amen? Well, I'm in as much as I can be, you know, because I've got this busy life and I've all these things to do. And when I remember, oh, I'll pray. And when I remember and I find time, I'll maybe look at the Bible. And if I'm not too busy, I'll go out on a Sunday, occasionally. Or are we people who, Lord, you've given me everything, I'm giving you everything back? Or somewhere in between? Because it doesn't say in here that Zacchaeus gave his life to the Lord. But he came pretty close, if he didn't. And I obviously believe that he did, because he was so affected by the love of God in and through Jesus Christ that he just voluntarily, of his own free will, just repented. Because repentance is to turn away from what you're doing and turn into God. And in that moment, Zacchaeus repented and turned to Jesus. And we don't read anything more of him in the Bible, but I am sure he followed Jesus, because his life was changed. Did he stop being a tax collector? Don't know. Because a tax collector was a job. But he probably, if he did keep on the job, he was more honest. In fact, not only was he probably more honest, he was probably more lenient to the people he was collecting taxes off. Because he wasn't taking over and above what he was supposed to. He was fairer. He probably helped people who were in need because he would have had love and compassion for them. Because that's what Jesus does to you when you come to him. And it's not that he comes and you will be compassionate. No. Because he comes to you, his compassion just flows out of you to other people. You can't help it. But the reason why you can't help it is because you've realized who he is and what he's done for you. It's just so overwhelming, the love of God, that you just find yourself falling at his feet saying, Lord, I love you. Whatever you want, it's yours. Whatever I have, I give it to you. Take me, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us when we're tempted to mutter and raise ourselves above others. Help us to remember your compassion, your forgiveness of us, your forgiveness of me. And so much more than that, because not only do you forgive me and forgive us, but you offer us yourself and everything that is associated with Almighty God becomes ours. Because you take all of me and you cover me and fill me with all of you. And that just, wow, blows my mind. Help us to have a fuller revelation of what I just said there. That you come and you take all of us, all of me, all of each one of us, if we'll have you. And in return, you give us all of yourself. All of Almighty God in me, in each one of us. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord, here am I. Take me. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.